Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you're with us as always. Glad you found us on iTunes, Audio Boom, or GolfTripX.com. Darren, you can always find at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram, me at Mitch Lawrence, wherever you want to find me. And that includes the entire online universe. We have a great show this week, Darren. One of our favorite golf media personalities finally getting a chance to open up. Chris Mascaro will be talking to me shortly.
Yes, he will be talking to you because apparently I was off in the netherworld doing other things in the golf world. Most notably, I have been swamped right now with the Rams Hill work. Rams Hill's starting to get ready to open on October 23rd, and it has been a little bit crazy. Anybody who wants to play, though, give me a call because the season's going to be awesome. But back to you and Chris. Great conversation.
Okay, wait. I have to stop you because you say give you a call. So all the people who want to play Rams Hill have your phone number.
That is a figure of speech, Mitch. Give me a call. Ring me up. Hit me on the socials.
Hit me on the socials would be the key here.
I think we're going to mention our socials here in a minute, aren't we? Or did we already do that?
Well, we already did that. See, that shows you when you say you're off in the netherworld, you are not kidding. Truth telling. Darren, at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram. Find out all about Rams Hill. And if you haven't been there, as I haven't, we all need to get there. Spectacular.
Yep, it's going to be great this season, and things are looking up. So, but anyway, back to Chris. I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful conversation. Chris is a great guy, one of my favorite people on Twitter, and so we will roll into that in just a little bit.
Okay, but before we do that, let's just quickly touch on kind of a usual feature we have here, the best thing we've seen, heard, or done. Usually we say this week, but we're going to say since the end of the last podcast, which is now a couple of weeks ago. So why don't you lead off? I know there is a ton of really, really pretty incredible stuff going on out on the West Coast where you live.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm not sure this is the best thing I've seen or heard this week, but I have a trip. I think I've mentioned it on the podcast. I have a trip coming up. I'm going up to Gamble Sands. I'm going to get a sneak peek at Quick Sands. I'm also going to make a stop and see our friend Dan Hixon at Callahan Ridge in Roseburg, Oregon again. And I'm also going to play Wine Valley for the first time, which is another Dan Hixon design. But the fires have just been out of control. I mean, I haven't seen the sun in days here in Bakersfield. Going up that way, Gamble Sands had fire come all the way up to the edges of the property a few days back and had to close the property for a couple days. Just unbelievable, the things that they, not just golf courses, but I mean, throughout the entire West that people are going through, and just a layer of smoke out here. And so, you know, we're keeping everybody in our thoughts and anybody who's battling that kind of thing. And just so happy that that the team at Gamble Sands was able to really just get into action and stop the fire. And it's you will see pictures of it that I'll shoot while I'm there. I've seen some video and some pictures from when it happened, and it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. And obviously 2020 has been a year of, well, I'll just say it, complete fuckery.
The fires are completely on brand for 2020,
no doubt. They are for 2020. I mean, it's been bad in years past. We all know that. But the scope of this, the incredible scope of this is beyond anything I think any of us have ever seen. And obviously, like you said, it's we're thinking about all our friends, everybody up and down the West Coast, and hoping this ends soon. So here's to a great trip for you and a safe trip for you, pal. That's what I'm going to be thinking about.
Thank you, sir.
For me, a couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to do something. We'll turn to some fun now. Those of you who listen to the podcast know how fond of the great Mike Strand's courses, Caledonian True Blue here in Myrtle Beach, we are. We've played them bunches of times. Every time is an experience and a joy. And I had gotten a chance to play Caledonia a few times riding fin scooters. And we've talked about the Finn scooters on the show and what a complete joyride it is.
This show should be sponsored by Finn scooters as much as you go ride Finn scooters at True Blue in Caledonia.
I completely agree. The great part, and you just mentioned it, up until this last trip a couple of weeks ago to True Blue with our friend Ryan Ballingy, who got to be here and also experienced the Finns, they were only at Caledonia. And they had eight of them, and they were always in use, and I loved riding it there. But I always thought, man, True Blue would be perfect because it's a bigger, more wide-open golf course, and how fun would it be? And knowing the response to the Finns over at Caledonia and True Blue being a sister course, they decided to go ahead. So they got, I think, eight of them also, and I can't even begin to tell you how much fun that was for Ryan and I. And to see him, I always love, it's like when you and I take someone to a golf course we love for the first time. Ryan had played True Blue, so he loved it already. But to see him on a Finn scooter was just like watching your best friend as a kid take the training wheels off his bike and get out for the first time. It was such a blast. We had so much fun.
Oh, it sounds like a blast. I wish I could have been there. I'm still not sold on riding scooters. I'm still a walking guy, Mitch, but I see you guys on them. It looks like you're having a blast. I know you were on them with our friend Ben Grian. I'm not sure where I'm at on the whole Finn scooter thing. That might sabotage our deal to get them to sponsor us, me not being fully Finn scootery.
Well, here's what I can say. You know me. I would rather walk than anything. There, to me, just like you, walking is the way. That is the game. However, I can pretty much with certainty say that if I can get you here and get you on a Finn scooter, not something you do every time. It's not like all of a sudden, although I thought about buying one and just carting it to the golf course. It's not something you do every time, but as an alternative to the times when carts are what you're going to use. And remember, in Myrtle Beach, a lot of places don't let you walk.
Right. If you had to use a cart, that this would be a viable alternative. I agree with that.
This would be the big alternative to me.
Yeah.
So hold your judgment until you actually get on one, because I'm telling you right now, you'll have so much fun that you won't know what to do with yourself. You'll forget to hit golf shots. I just want to ride around on it.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. So let us get going. Darren mentioned that he was not around for the interview with Chris Mascaro. I, however, was, and it's been something I've been meaning to get to for a while. I met Chris virtually through my brother, Matt. After he had done Chris's podcast, Next on the Tee, he raved about what a great host Chris was. And after doing a show myself, which I've done a few times, I totally agree. Chris is one of the most professional, well-prepared hosts you are going to find anywhere. Next on the Tee has become, because of the respect people have for Chris, one of the most listened to podcasts on golf. And that's not an easy task with so many pods flying around now. But the fact that once again, Next on the Tee has been ranked by Podcast Magazine for the month of September as the 34th most popular pod on their Hot 50 list, which should be higher to me because there are about 25 or so at the top that are those true crime podcasts. Get with it, people. Ridiculous. So move Chris up and let's forget about true crime. That's my take. Chris has always had truly remarkable guests every week. He's got a wide variety of important voices in the game, legends of the game, all of them here to share positive info and insights, as well as having a really terrific array of wonderful tips on the game from some of the best LPGA and PGA teachers in the world. Every week, it's a guaranteed terrific hour or so. And a side note, since we're back to the NFL season now, Chris is also the host, as if he doesn't have enough to do. He's the host with the most of Thursday Night Tailgate. And if you're into football, this is your podcast. As with Next on the Tee, an incredible lineup of guests every week and only positive vibes allowed, not your normal trash talking, opinionated sports talk show, which is a really great thing these days. Another thing about Chris before we roll, he says on his Next on the Tee website that the guests are the stars of the show. Totally true. He always tees it up for a guest to shine, so it is way past time that those of us who follow Chris and love his work get a chance to actually find out something about him for a change. You can find Chris at CT Mascaro on Twitter and Instagram, Chris Mascaro on Facebook. NextOnTheT.net is the website. You can also hit that NextOnTheT.podbean.com. If you happen to miss an episode, ThursdayNightTailgate.com and ThursdayNightTailgate.podbean.com. So welcome to Talking Golf Getaways, Chris, longtime listener, big time fan.
I appreciate you, Mitch. Glad to be here.
What a treat. What an absolute treat. I should have done this earlier because you've been such an amazing supporter of not just the show, but of me, of my brother, of Darren, and bad on me. I'm going to send myself to time out right after we do this interview.
I love you guys. You know that.
Well, we love you too. All right. Let's. I want to start at the beginning. Before we get into talking about Next on the Tee and Thursday Night Tailgate a little bit, but especially Next on the Tee, obviously. Before we get into that, I just want to go into a little bit of your own history, because as I said in your introduction, I have never heard you talk about yourself, ever. You're probably the most humble human I've ever met on the planet. So it's really great to be able to get your story, your side of things. Tell us how you got started. I know you started playing at 12,
yep.
A fairly early age. Some people started earlier. I started at 30. And you started with your dad in Florida. Tell us how that came about. Did you connect with the game right away? What was that like?
Yeah, you know, my father was a weekend player. You know, every Saturday, Sunday, he would go play. And you know, as a lot of boys do, I mean, I idolized my dad and I wanted to be able to hang out with him. So he would start to, take me to get lessons so that, I could play a little bit before getting out there. And then we'd play late in the afternoons. And it's the place that my father and I connected the best. And, you know, throughout our lives to this point, it's golf is something that has united my father and I, unites my son and I. And I cherish those, and I still love playing late in the afternoon. If you let me play whenever I wanted to, I would play late in the afternoon just because of the nostalgia and what that meant to me when I got the opportunity to play with my father. So yeah, I was 12 years old, took lessons. I remember my first par on a par three. You know, hit it a little bit short, chipped it up, and then made a long ranger to make my first par, and fell in love with the game from there, and continued to play with my father, you know, all through, my teenage years, early 20s until, you know, college and everything kind of, you know, a little bit of distance between us. But those are still the most special times. And now, we get to, my son's playing the game and the three of us can play. So those are my, the times that I cherish the most, Mitch, is when the three of us can play. But yeah, started at 12, loved the game. I remember we've moved around a lot when I was a kid, and my father would get promoted and transferred. And I remember we moved to Marshfield, Massachusetts, which is a little south of Boston, and we had a municipal golf course, and they didn't take tee time, so you had to show up. Or it was sort of like the Bethpage Black sort of thing. You had to show up early, and I used to set my alarm for about 3:30 in the morning. And get up and drive down there, meet the starter, and get tee time for my father and I, or if we had some other friends playing. And then come back home, go back to bed until it was time to get up to go play. But I wouldn't change any of that. Those are special times for me.
Isn't that great? So you still get to play with your dad?
Yeah, he's 78 years old, and he lives. He and my mom live up in just outside of Chattanooga in Ottawa, Tennessee, and when they come down here, it's about an hour and 15 minute drive from where I am here, just a little north of Atlanta. So he's got a country club up there that he plays at. And when we go visit, he'll get a tee time for the three of us, being my son. Sometimes we'll play later in the afternoon so my mom can play too. Or when they come down to visit, we'll sneak out and play. So yeah, it's still, he's a heck of a player. I mean, he's been a single digit handicap for as long as I can remember. Wow. But yeah, love it. Yeah, I love playing with them.
How unbelievable. What a great tie-in for a whole lifetime. Obviously, we both know that's why the game is so amazing. But the fact that your son is now playing too, and that, I love hearing that. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
That's such a great thing. We just started our grandson, who's 8, on with golf lessons, and we're having a blast. Oh, he's the funniest. That's a whole other show, but that connection, you're right. And I'm hoping that he takes to it that way, so that years from now, you know, we can say, remember when it started, just like you are. Let's go back to that first period, though, because I think this ties in a little bit to next on the tee. The early lessons you took, Ken Friend, the Tides Golf Club.
That's right.
Did you, first of all, great that your dad said, I'm not going to teach you. Go take lessons here. You know, he might have given you some help, but to actually put you with somebody who could teach you from that age, what were those early lessons like? How did you connect with those?
Yeah, I mean, I remember getting out there and getting on the practice tee and, you know, starting to learn the swing. And, you know, I mean, you know, this is back, 1977? So, you know, I mean, you had the old Persimmon Woods and all of that sort of thing. And my dad had an old set, and, you know, I started out with the odd number of clubs and a couple of woods, and that I had to choke way down at the end of the grip and try to learn how to play. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it was late afternoon rounds getting out there with Ken Friend, and I'll never forget that, and Tides Country Club. And I just looked it up recently just out of curiosity's sake. And, that golf course, unfortunately, is no longer there, but,
oh no!
Yeah, it's disappointing that golf course is no longer out there. But you know, that's, like I said, that's where I got my start in the game, and you know, the old golf clubs, and I still have them, as a matter of fact. I keep those for nostalgia's sake. But yeah, I mean, I fell in love with the game right away.
Have you hit the Persimmons now?
No, actually, I haven't in a long time, and I'll tell you why. Because I had a 4-wood, and a while back I thought, let me try this out, and unfortunately the face kept, flew out from it, because it was, sort of glued in there, and I'm sure the glue got old and all that sort of stuff, and that's why it broke. But I haven't, I've kept them just because, for sentimental value. But it would be interesting to, if I ever get the opportunity for, to play with you and Matt, that may be something that, because I know what a Hickory player you are, it might be worth, playing with those, when we get together.
Well, the only reason I'm asking, this is kind of a sidebar. I just recently, in the last few months, got 3 Persimmons, a Ben Hogan speed slot driver, and 2 Tony Penna, 3 and a 5-wood. That a kid I've known, a guy now my age, 70 years old, I've known since kindergarten.
Wow.
And his father played, and he grew up playing with his father. I didn't. And he called me one day and said, we're moving to Florida. I was going through the attic, and I still have these woods that my father had in the 60s. Are you interested? He knew I loved old clubs and hickories. And so he sent them to me. I had Tad Moore, the great Tad Moore, found shafts for me from the 60s, which was hard. Put the new shafts in, and I have to tell you, I absolutely love them.
Is that right?
I'm serious. I'm not for sentimental reasons, although every time I play with them, I think about Stu and his father, who I loved. But we'll talk about that at some other time, and maybe if you can get them reworked, and I know how you can do it, it might be fun just to have it.
I couldn't agree more, man. And there's, Kerry Middlecoff is the, whose club, the signature on the top.
Model.
And yeah, it's the model. And
how cool.
Yeah, very cool.
All right, so we're going to get into next on the tee, but you have so many great teachers on your show. There's too many of them to name here. I did talk a little bit about some of them in the intro. They've given testimonials, just wonderful people. But do you think that's a little bit of payback to Ken Friend? For his influence on you early?
Certainly, look, the top instructors in the game, I'm blessed to have, as you allude to, come on the show regularly. And it sort of is. I mean, I have a great deal of respect, for our PGA and LPGA professionals, for what they do, for us and for the game, to grow the game, bring people into the game, keep people in the game. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure on some level that's true. I mean, when I think about how we get to, get the junior players started and get more people involved in the great game of golf, it's because of the PGA and LPGA professionals we have out there. That's where, my son's taking lessons from a local LPGA professional. So, I think that's important. And I think they've got stories to tell and lessons for us to learn and great insights into the problems that we all have, whether we're slicers or hookers or we're scooping it or, whatever it is. We can't get better and continue to enjoy and love the game. Look, I don't want people to come into the game and get frustrated with it and leave it. And I want the instructors to, give them a voice to be able to help us play better, because when we play better, we're happier and we're going to come back. And I think that's how it's going to continue. The game's going to get passed on, generation to generation, like it has in my family. So I want to give, those men and women the opportunity to come on and share their stories and tell where they're at. And for folks that are in that part of the country, to go see them. And, now with technology and the places like the V1 app and those sorts of things, that people can, get a lesson from anybody anywhere. So, yeah, I mean, I want them to come on and have a voice and to be able to help us grow this game.
Right. Wow. I hope sometime you get to be a little more articulate about it all.
Indeed.
What a great answer. All right, let's get into next on the tee. It's an unbelievable show. I can't really, if people haven't listened to it, they need to. If they have, they understand what I'm talking about, because week in, week out, and that's a key part of this, is that you do this every week. You plow on all the time. Great guests, information, everything else. But go back to the beginning. Now, you did then and you do now. You have something else that you do as a, for a living.
Right.
So this is purely, and was purely, I assume, a labor of love, a pure passion play on your part. When did you get the idea to do it? How did it happen? Tell us about the early days of Next on the Tee, because it's such an established product now.
Well, I mean, you go all the way back to, if you go back to 2011, where this whole thing sort of started from was I met a guy through LinkedIn who was looking for, and this is for a different sport, was looking for baseball writers. He has a website called seamheads.com, and he was looking for baseball writers. He was interested. So I raised my hand. I said, I'll write some baseball articles. I'm a Red Sox fan. I'm a Pirates fan. So as started with that, and he said, hey, there's this podcasting thing that I'm hearing about. Anyone interested in doing a podcast? So I raised my hand. I'll do Red Sox or Pirates, whatever. And did a Red Sox podcast for a couple of years with some guys I met that are up in that part of the country. And at the end of that baseball season, came football, obviously. And I said, hey, is there any appetite for football? And we started a show called Thursday Night Tailgate. We still do it. Like I say, that's going all the way back to 2011. And at the end of the first football season, I have this passion for golf, and it just so happened that our football show had gotten picked up by the Armed Forces Radio Network. And I asked those guys if they would let me do a golf show. And they were like, no, I don't know if anyone listens to a golf talk show. So they allowed me to do one episode. They're like, look, we'll let you do one. And if it goes well, then we'll go from there. But it probably is not going to catch on with our listeners. So it just so happened I was blessed enough to have Gary Player and Billy Casper on the first episode. And it became the number one or number three rated show of that week. And they said, okay, go. So I got to continue to do it.
And every week you have to have guests the caliber of Gary Player and Billy Casper.
Right. So
well, wait, this begs the question. As somebody who's done a golf podcast for years, and also like you've been blessed, but I know what it takes to get guests of that caliber. How, without having done one, how did you happen to get Gary Player and Billy Casper on that first pilot podcast?
So, you know, through the magic of social media, people that I knew him and got me in contact, you know, with his son, Mark. And Mark helped me do it. So I got Mark to get me in contact with his father and find out, you know, what day that I could do it. And, you know, I had to record the interview. And I'll tell you what, Mitch, when I got both of those guys to come on the show, and I knew that they were going to come on, and this is, you know, sort of, you know, I had to call them, and I had the time slot, you know, and, you know, Armed Forces Radio Network had, you know, strict time slots. My show was, you know, early in the morning, 8 o'clock. So I was excited to get both of those guys to come on the show, but it sort of flipped on me because I was worried that, you know, I would call him and he wouldn't answer. And then here I would go on the air and have nothing. But then as the phone started to ring, I became more nervous that he actually would. And he did. And it was as gracious and as fun an interview as I've ever done. Like I said, I was scared to death, you know, when it started. But he's as nice as he can possibly be. And I've been blessed to have him on the show every year. Just had him on not that long ago, about a week ago. He came on again. But yeah, I got both of those guys. And when you can, that sort of propelled me, right? If you say, hey, I just had, you know, Gary Player and Billy Casper on the show, and you're calling other people, you're reaching out to other people, and they're like, all right, you must be, you know, to come on a show that they had never heard of from with a guy they never heard of. But having that sort of in my back pocket that I just had those two guys on, that that opened doors, and it's been, you know, it's been great ever since. That was 2014, so here we are, right, you know, 6 years later.
Yep. Well, that's fantastic, and obviously a great story. I was going to cut to Gary Player in a little while, but you've already brought him up, so let's talk about it. I mean, the pod that you did just have, and if people haven't heard it, they should find it and listen to it. But really, really incredible, and you can feel the kind of connection that you have with him now that you tell us the story of how it started. I understand where that connection from. Do you ever, I'm assuming you do, because any conversation I've had with the greats of the game, I always pinch myself. But do you say to yourself, okay, I'm just a guy who loves golf, and here I am with Gary Player?
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, again, you know, the first show, you know, Gary Player comes on with me on a show he never heard of with a guy he never heard of. But yeah, I mean, any time that I get to spend some time with him, and I got about 45 minutes with him, like I say, a week ago Sunday, it's a treasure. And I often think to myself, I cannot believe I'm talking to, you know, one of the greatest players of all time. And yeah, it's a surreal moment. It's a special moment. It's one I cherish. It's one I look forward to every year. And every time that that I talk to him, he's fun, funny, and he's got great stories. And like I say, he couldn't be any nicer. But yeah, I mean, I think to myself, I mean, look, it's not just Gary Player for me, Mitch. I mean, the fact that you and I are talking right now, that you know what my name is, and your brother Matthew.
Okay. Wait. If you were sitting in the room with me, I'd slap you right now because you're comparing me to talking to Gary Player, which I appreciate, but let's not go overboard here.
I mean, yeah.
Love you, man. I love you, but.
But, it, you know, look, people know who you are. Right. I mean, Mitch Lawrence, Matthew Lawrence, people know that name. No one knows Chris Mascaro. And the fact that we have this relationship, or I mean, you can go another direction. I mean, I've had two wonderful conversations recently with Hal Sutton. And that means, you know, the world to me. I mean, I can go down the list. I mean, you know, the fact that these guys, I'll tell you a story. I am on the football side. Early on, and like I say, we've been doing that show since 2011, but Jim Everett became a really good friend of ours.
Quarterback.
Yeah, right. Former quarterback for the Rams. Right? The
Rams, right.
And after Jimmy had come on the show a couple of times, I called him on my cell phone, and he answered the phone, "Hey, Chris." And I thought, Jim Everett has me and his address book and knows who I am and says, "Hey, Chris," that I was floored by that. And that's happened a couple of times. Rocky Blyer, I've called Rocky Blyer and he's, "Hey, Chris, how you doing?" Like, wow, Rocky Blyer knows who I am. That all is not only special, but
well,
yeah, those are coming from knowing
the kind of Steelers fan you are, I get that one.
Yeah,
for sure, I get that one. How cool. Well, I think we're all lucky. Those of us who grew up or got to the game late or whatever, those of us in this business that have had a chance to talk to the people we've talked to, I think all of us feel the same way. And I obviously thought you would feel that way too, knowing who you are. I have to ask you one question, because I could talk to you about your guests. And I thought about doing that because you've had so many great guests, but I don't want to slight anybody. You know, and I really feel like that when you ask specific questions, you kind of leave out all these other people. But there's one thing about Gary Player that I want to ask you.
Okay.
You have a ton of testimonials on your website. If anybody goes to the website for nextonthetee.net is the website. I'll repeat it. You'll see a bunch of video testimonials and also some written ones. Great people. An incredible list of people, if you haven't been there. The video list is great. Damon Hack, Lexi Thompson, former LPGA Commissioner Charlie Meacham. Great teachers, Tom Patry, Brian Jacobs, Debbie O'Connell, the great Ben Wright, who, as you know, is a wonderful friend of mine as well. Tom Lehman, caddy Kip Henley, former Golf Channel producer Keith Hirschland, one of our favorite people.
Indeed.
And if you're listening to this and you haven't read his book, Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In, about the Golf Channel's early days, do it. And yeah, but let's talk about one thing that Gary Player said, because I have, ever since I kind of met you virtually, I've wondered about this. Gary Player said, this is what you have on your website, "You're the first person in my, at the time, 64 years in golf that picked up on that." That's the quote by Gary Player. What was he talking about?
So
I hope you remember.
I do. Yeah, when Gary Player gives you a compliment like that, that's something you never forget. So I was asking him, you know, talking about greatness, you know, greatest players of all time and that sort of thing. I said, "Mr. Player, when I look at your longevity in the game, you won majors over a span of 20 years. Mr. Nicklaus won majors over the span of 25 years. Mr. Palmer only won majors over 6 years. When I think about greatness, I think about people that sustained it over that period of time, that length of time." And then boom, out came that quote. So, when he says stuff like that, and, you know, he's given me some, you know, very, very nice other compliments. You'll find them on my website, but, that sticks with you.
Well, obviously, and as I said in the introduction, I don't know anybody that's better prepared than you for what you do. It's always great, and you always back up every bit of your passion with the work that goes in beforehand, which a lot of people don't really get to see or hear, but we know it's there. So, you know, I'm with Gary. It's no surprise to me that you would pick up on that. And I haven't been in golf 64 years, or however many it is now, thankfully, but but it is a great compliment. All right, we could talk about Next on the Tee all day. Let's just mention briefly, because it's also interesting to me, that in addition to the work that you do in I won't say real life, because to me Next on the Tee is real life, but the work that you do kind of daily to pay some bills and stuff, in addition to Next on the Tee, which you do every week, you mentioned Thursday Night Tailgate. And you've done that for a long time, and you've been a huge football fan. You mentioned the Red Sox, baseball fan. You know, Pittsburgh was your place. So you were there during some great years of the Pirates and the Steelers. That Pittsburgh's such a great sports town. So tell us a little bit about Thursday Night Tailgate, which people can find every week. If you're a football fan and go to ThursdayNightTailgate.com. You can find out all about it. But one of the things, and you've always been this way, Chris, and I said this to you and to anybody who listen, you're the most positive person that I know, and your shows are positive. And Thursday Night Tailgate is even a step above. Most people in golf, I think, are positive people. I would say that. But football engenders a lot of opinions and a lot of trash talking and a lot of real passionate hatred for an opposing team or rival. But you, with Thursday Night Tailgate, you make it a point for that not to be what the show is about, that the guests you have on, who are all great legends of the game, they have opinions, obviously, but you go out of your way to be positive and to make sure they're positive, to bring a different perspective that talks about the positive aspects of the game. And that's what I love about the show. Tell us about your kind of hit on Thursday Night Tailgate and why you want to keep doing it.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, one of the things, Mitch, when we started the show way back when is we wanted to do it differently. I mean, look, social media and a lot of the things that you'll read on, you know, whatever sports website you go to or whatever sports you watch, there's a lot of negativity. It's always, you know, the stories are about, you know, who got, you know, arrested for this or that or the other thing. And we didn't want to go that route. We wanted to go a completely different route. And look, the folks that get, you know, the players that get arrested, there are a handful of them. And we hear that we get pounded with those stories over and over and over again about the same folks. But, you know, 99% of the guys, whether they're the players that are playing now or even the alumni players, are out there doing great things every week. So we wanted to tell those stories because if you find them, they're always, you know, the little column on page 12 in the corner that nobody reads while the, you know, the negative stuff is, you know, pounded to you right there on the homepage. So we wanted to tell those stories. Guys are out there doing great things. They're supporting their communities. They're raising a lot of money, you know, for causes in this country and causes around the world. So we wanted to make that, we wanted to bring those to the front table. And we make a conscious decision not to talk about any of the other negative stuff. And they're like, look, if you want to hear that, it's out there for you to find. It's not hard. But these stories are probably the ones you haven't heard. And did you know about, you know, these guys, you know, whether it's the water boys that are bringing clean, you know, drinking water over to Africa? Is it, you know, about, you know, some of the guys that are feeding the hungry, getting involved with organizations like harvest.org or, you know, those sorts of things that, you know, is, you know, Pat Mahomes, we all know about the great things he does on the field, but we're not always aware of, you know, how we spend some days during the week helping to build homes for Habitat for Humanity and those sorts of things. So we wanted to make sure we have a segment for it. It's the last segment of the show every week where we tell two stories. My co-host Bob Lazzari does one and then I do another to bring those stories out because I think we need to know the good stuff. We hear enough of the bad. It's time. And, you know, that's sort of our focus. Let's tell about the good things that these guys are doing.
Well, amen. Preach, brother. It's a great thing. And I'm totally with you 100%. And I think a lot of people are too. So Thursday Night Tailgate, another aspect of Chris's life that's well worth your checking out. Let's talk. This is Talking Golf Getaways.
It is?
After all.
That's what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll remind you. Well, we haven't yet, but we are going to now. So let's talk some golf. Let's talk some courses. You live just north of Atlanta. Tell us a couple of your favorite places to play in that area or within easy driving distance. Where do you like to go play?
Yeah, well, I mean, like to go play. We got a course that's managed by the Bobby Jones Company just a little north of us here called Cobblestone. It's an actual municipal course, but just as beautiful in golf, you know, Golf Digest and Golf Magazine have praised it, you know, year after year for what a beautiful golf course it is. So I would say that's my favorite course in this area to go play. I'll tell you my best golf experience here locally, Mitch, I was fortunate enough one time to be able to go play at East Lake. And that is the greatest golf experience that I've ever had. That was a great day. And everything about that place is first class. And they just, you know, obviously I'm not a member, but I got invited to go play there, and they made me feel like one. So that's the greatest golf experience I've ever had. Bears Best is another look. I'm a big Jack Nicklaus fan, and it's got a lot of his favorite holes that he's recreated on the property. And I had the great privilege when they opened that course, and he opened that course, to go out there and be there with him. I actually walked three holes right next to him, and that's one of the great thrills of my life, to walk shoulder to shoulder with Jack Nicklaus, who, like I say, is my golf idol, along with Gary Player. So, you know, those are the three that I would say are my favorite. Now, look, Bill Bergen has become a great friend of the show, has been on several times. And I keep telling him he needs to open up like a Bergen's Trail, because the Macklemore, which is a sponsor of my show, is a beautiful new golf course just on the other side of Lookout Mountain, just outside of Chattanooga. I haven't played it yet, but I'm looking forward to getting up there. But Chattanooga Country Club, Dalton Country Club are a couple of his as well. So I'm sort of looking forward to once I can get back out there, sort of doing that sort of Bergen Trail, and taking a look at a lot of Bill's work, because the pictures are outstanding, and Bill's a heck of a guy and a great guest. So I want to be able to experience his work firsthand. So I would say those are, if you said to me, what six golf courses are you looking forward to getting back out on? I would say it's those six.
Wow. This is all cool stuff, because, see, Bill Bergen to me is another one. There are a number of these kind of designers who a lot of people have never heard of. There's so many great courses by people like Bill who, if you don't really know, you go, Bill who? Instead of, I mean, you mentioned the Macklemore. I have yet to play it, only through you and the posts you've made and just talking about it when I listen to you, have I become aware of the Macklemore. And I got, if you're listening and you haven't checked out the Macklemore, do it. The pictures are off the charts. Amazing. It's also, Chris, and this is one of my favorite town names that I've ever read. Rising Fawn, Georgia.
That's right. That's right.
That's where the Macklemore is.
That's right.
What a great name. What a cool name. It makes you want to get up early and just go out and watch fawns walk around. But again, it's near Chattanooga, which of course means, you know what, it's just a side trip. I checked it out. It's 47 minutes from Sweetens Cove.
Yeah, which is another golf course.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's another course I want to play. And I know you guys were out there last year.
Yeah. Well, if you do the Macklemore and then a side dish of Sweetens, trust me, you're going to be full for a year. But this sounds like an amazing place. A couple hours from Nashville, Knoxville, Atlanta, Birmingham, Reese Jones and Bill Bergen. Have you ever heard of the Cliffs courses in South Carolina?
I have, as a matter of fact.
Well, the Cliffs of Glassy, which is a Tom Jackson course in Landrum, South Carolina, is one of my all-time favorite experiences playing golf. And the pictures I saw of the Macklemore are exactly like that, where you're literally at the top of a mountain with those views and those vistas all around you. So it seems like a really great place. And I'm really glad that they're partnering with you to get the word out. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, they're wonderful people. And like I say, that, you know, when you look at it and go on the Macklemore.com, to check it out, but a lot of great accolades. Kip Henley was on the show a few weeks ago and says, outside of the 18th at Pebble Beach, it's the most beautiful golf hole he's ever seen. And it's getting that kind of those kind of accolades from Golf Digest and you know, lots of other places. Golf Digest said it's the, you know, since 2000, it's the best course, you know, best inland American golf course. So it looks spectacular. They're going to be opening up their clubhouse in October. They're going to be doing a grand opening for that and have a media day and that sort of thing. So I'm looking forward to being there and checking out the property. Everything I've seen about it's beautiful.
Cool. Can't wait to see pictures of that. And we'll look for it. Okay, let's get to just a few quick questions. We've talked about some of the places you like to play around where you live. What's a bucket list course and a bucket list destination for you? You've played a lot of golf. I'm not saying you're old, but you've had a long time in the golf world. I mean, you're nowhere near as old as I am, but you've been playing longer. So what's a bucket list course and a bucket list destination for you?
Well, and it's a course that I know that you've played, is, you know, I mean, obviously all the big names, right? I mean, Augusta National, Pebble Beach, Oakmont, you know, those are some places that I would love to be able to say that I played at one point. But I know you've been out to Old Head in Ireland, and I've had the privilege of talking to some folks, that other guys that have played it, and then their marketing director was on the show about a year ago. But after seeing that property online, that's at the top of the list, man. I got to get on that golf course.
Well, how cool. I actually am sitting in my home office looking at a picture of myself at Old Head with my arms raised with the lighthouse in the background. So you won't regret getting to that one. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. All right. If I had to ask you what your favorite place to stay on a golf trip has been, or any other trip, we're all about, Darren and I are all about great places to stay, period. So it doesn't have to be golf, but did you have a favorite place where you go, man, this is just off the charts, great?
Yeah, I mean, I had the privilege a few years ago of going up to the French Lick Resort and staying there, and then playing the Pete Dye course and the Donald Ross course up there, went with my family, and that's pretty spectacular. Getting up there on that Dye course and seeing some of the vistas that that you can see from up there, and then trying to play that golf course. Was a trip.
But the hotel is unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely. West Baden, the regular, I mean, both of those places are outstanding.
Right.
Really enjoyed. We spent, I can't remember, 3 or 4 days up there. That's about as good as it gets for me. I mean, I've had an opportunity, with my buddies. We went to, the Sandestin Resort over in Destin, Florida. Last year, played the Lynx course, Baytown Golf Club, and the Raven Golf Club when we were over there. And that was a lot of fun, right on the bay. It was you know, kind of a spectacular, you know, a lot, you talk about a lot of great water views. And then, you know, trying to not get in the water was a challenge. but a beautiful place and a lot of fun as well. I'd say, you know, in the last couple of years, Those are probably my favorites. I had an opportunity years ago to go up to Lake Lure, North Carolina, played Ball Mountain Golf Course and Apple Valley Golf Course, just fell in love with the town of Lake Lure. And then the golf was pretty good too. So I would say those are probably my three favorites.
We're pretty lucky, aren't we?
Indeed.
I mean, when you think about what we're talking about, we're pretty lucky. All right. You mentioned that you got to walk three holes with Jack.
Yeah.
Jack Nicklaus, Mr. Nicklaus. I really shouldn't call him Jack, but with Mr. Nicklaus. And that was pretty special, as I can imagine it would be. Besides that, who would you say, if I asked you who the most interesting person or the most fun or somebody that really stood out to you that you've gotten to play with?
I can't claim to have played golf with him, but I tell you what, last year, at East Lake at the Tour Championship, I got to finally meet in person Dr. Bob Jones. And Doc has been a wonderful guest on the show many times. I'd wanted to meet him like I want to meet you and Matt. Got into East Lake, and then got to spend some time. He hit the ceremonial tee shot. And right after the ceremonial tee shot, my son and I got to spend some time with Doc. And that's very special to me. He's a very spiritual man, and every time that I've whether it's had him on the show and spoken to him, talked to him on the telephone, or the time we spent there is just something that's deeply spiritual to me, and he's a special man, and means a great deal to me.
Isn't that great? Yeah, I've been aware of him for a long time. Talked to him once, but nothing like what you've experienced with him. And it always, whenever you have him on the show, which is fairly often, it's a great gift to a lot of people, because obviously he's, like you said, he's one of those people that you listen to him speak and you just instantly calm down and pay attention.
That's right.
That's what I do. All right. Well, there's a lot more I think I could talk to you about. You're just going to have to come back. Well, that's the only way I look at it.
Well, you know, I'll come back and do anything for you, my friend. So you just let me know.
All right. Well, you know how I feel about you. This is a love fest for those of you who haven't noticed yet. Deep mutual respect between the two of us. I know my brother feels the same way, and a whole lot of other people, Chris. I can't thank you enough. Chris's Twitter Sunday mornings of follows have become a staple to so many people that it's mind-boggling. And all of us appreciate what you do. As I said before, you're the most supportive person that I know of other people and their work. I don't know anybody who gives the time and the love to people who love the game the way that you do. So we're all grateful for it, and grateful for Next on the Tee, grateful for Thursday Night Tailgate, and for a whole lot more. And if you and I don't actually tee it up soon, I don't know what I'm going to do, but right. I'll figure something out.
I look forward to
that. We're too close, man. So let's do it. Let's make a pledge on this show that we will do it soon.
Absolutely. Right hand up, man.
All right. Mine too. All right. Thanks so much. This has been a real treat. Again, you can find Chris at CT Mascaro on Twitter and Instagram, Chris Mascaro on Facebook, or go to nextonthetee.net, thursdaynighttailgate.com, and you will be glad you did. There's so much good going on thanks to the great Chris Mascaro. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks to all of you for listening. Couldn't do it without you. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us on iTunes, hit us on the socials at Golf Trip Experts with your questions, comments, pretty much anything you want to say, talk about when it comes to the world of golf travel. We're always grateful. Chris Mascaro had a dream to bring us all great guests to talk about the game and the games he loves. Hope you can chase your dreams and make them come true too. Thanks for being with us. So long.